looking at people's pictures to see if you're outside enjoying the nice weather. It is gorgeous out. I think we're going to go ahead and mute everybody. Okay. Hopefully you can still hear me. I'm hearing some reverb, Lynn.
Okay.
So hopefully everybody, oh. Okay. All right. Okay. We good? All right. I think everybody should be able to hear me now. So this is Emily Cooper. I am the Chief Housing Officer at the Executive Office of Elder Affairs. If this is your first call, welcome. We have been doing these calls weekly on a variety of different topics, and we're glad to have you today. Before we get started, actually, before we launch in, I'm going to ask the folks from Leading Age Massachusetts, who have been wonderful at supporting us with the technology needs, to talk a little bit about the technology for this call. Lynn, can you talk about that?
Absolutely. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm just going to, again, walk through a few of the functionalities of Zoom that we'll be using during this call. So for those of you who are on your computers and on the phones, the default for entering this meeting is to be muted. So if you would like to unmute yourself to make a comment or ask a question, if you're on your computer, you'll want to click on the small microphone icon on the bottom of your screen. That will unmute you. If you are on the phone, you press *6 to unmute yourself. And we do ask that you re-mute yourself after you've made your question or comment, just to reduce the background noise. Also, for those on the computer, we will be using the chat box. You'll find the little chat icon at the bottom of your screen. In order to use that, feel free to drop messages in there. And I would recommend just to double check when you're sending a message that you're sending it to everyone in the meeting, so you can have everyone see your question or comment. There are multiple people on this call who are monitoring that, so feel free to put that in and we'll make sure we get to your questions and comments throughout the call. If you are on the phone and you have a question or comment that you're not able to share, you're welcome to send me an email, and my email address is lmonaghan@leadingagema.org. Again, that's lmonaghan@leadingagema.org. That's it.
Great. Thanks, Lynn. So this is Emily Cooper. I had to change my venue for those of you who are raiding my room. I am doing this from bed now, as my roommates have, AKA my children, have decided to do all those chores I've asked them to do, like empty the dishwasher and things, right when I started this call. So, I would like to give an opportunity. This is a partnership between Elder Affairs and other state housing agencies. And I just want to give an opportunity to those folks to say hello. David Ng from Mass Housing.
Thanks, Emily. The folks at Leading Age for hosting us on this call. We appreciate all the technical assistance that you provide, and thanks to all the participants and all the work that you are doing every day to keep the residents of the Commonwealth safe during this health emergency. So thank you for joining us today.
Great, thanks, David. And Amy Stitely from the Department of Housing and Community Development.
Yes, welcome everyone. Thanks for joining us. Thank you to our special guest speakers, and thank you, Emily, for organizing us and creating these venues to share such great information.
Thanks, Amy. And Sarah from CDAC.
Hi, everybody. Thanks, Emily. Thanks, Leading Age Mass, for hosting these calls. Oh, am I frozen? I don't know.
Nope, you're there.
Sorry, I don't think I'm frozen. I just wanted to note there are other colleagues from both DHCD and CDAC on this call as well. And, you know, we're all here to serve as resources for you. If there are ways that you think we can be of assistance to you as you face this crisis, I know there's been a lot of work and communication going on from many of you already. And we are obviously not in our offices, but we are available to all of you.
Great. Thanks, Sarah. And I want to also just acknowledge sometimes we have invited HUD to be on the call. So just to let you know that they're on the call and maybe there's a question for them, we can see if anyone would answer. So we came together at the state, these agencies, recognizing your role really on the front lines of dealing with this pandemic and keeping our older adults healthy. We recognize that these independent housing properties, such as the ones your agency owns or operates, is an important place where older adults congregate, live, and that we want to make sure that we're supporting you with giving you the resources that you need, but also hearing from you about issues that you may be dealing with as we move forward on this public health crisis. So we have developed a few different things. One is a listserv. And hopefully you're all on the listserv. If you are not on the listserv, we will get you in touch with the right person. Oh, the video seems not to be working so well. Okay, but everybody can hear, so that's okay. So the listserv puts out information, sometimes guidance, sometimes just sort of ideas or practices that other people sharing, a way of sharing information. And so we encourage you all to join the listserv. We also have a dedicated email address, and you can email this email to get on the listserv. It is seniorhousingcovid19@mass.gov. I'll say that again, seniorhousingcovid19@mass.gov. So if you'd like to get on the listserv, you can email that address. If you want to share information, if you have any questions, we all talk to each other. If you want to share information about what's going on at your housing property, you know, if you have positive cases, you don't need to tell us who, but you know, what you're experiencing, it's very helpful to us. And then we also have these weekly calls, and they've been on different topics ranging from nutrition to the contact tracing collaborative. And we record those and post them on the Leading Age Massachusetts website every week. So you can go back if you've missed some and you want to hear what they were like. So with that, we're really excited to have with us two great presenters today to talk about community health centers. So first, we have Liz Sanchez, who is who's the Director of Health Policy and Access at the Mass League of Community Health Centers. Community health centers are really playing an important role, have played an important role in general historically, and are playing an important role in how communities are addressing the pandemic. And Liz is going to talk a little bit about what a community health center is, what services it provides historically and also now in relation to the pandemic. We are then going to hear from somebody from a specific community health center about what they've been doing, and then I'll open it up to questions and answers. So Liz, I'm going to turn it over to you. If you want to go ahead and unmute yourself.
Great, thank you. Everyone can hear me? Great. So thank you. I'm really happy to be here today with all of you, and certainly very happy to be here with Cynthia Sierra, CEO of Manic Community Health Center, and happy to hear what she will have to share from her health center perspective. The Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers, we are the state's primary care association. So we represent and serve the needs of the state's 52 community health centers, and that's a mix of federally qualified health centers as well as hospital licensed or hospital affiliated health centers. So across the state, all of our health centers on an annual basis, and this is all pre-COVID, certainly things have changed in the past few months, but annually health centers serve more than 1 million Massachusetts residents. There are about 300 health center sites across the state, serving 96% of the state's zip codes. About 44% of health center patients in Massachusetts are insured through Medicaid, 31% through subsidized or private coverage. About 10% are Medicare beneficiaries, and that number had been growing as we are an aging population. And about 14% remain uninsured greatly by community and by area where the health center is located. And across the state, over 40% of health center patients report being served in a language other than English. And many health center staff are bi or trilingual and are in the community in which they work, so have that cultural competency to best serve those patients. Massachusetts or health centers, the health center movement began in Massachusetts in 1965. Health centers have been built on the notion. Sure.
Hey, Liz. Hi, it's Emily. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me okay? Yes.
Yes. You know what? You're a little choppy and going in and out. I don't know if there's anything from your end we can do to fix that. But,
okay.
But one of the questions was, can you give that breakdown of customers served again? You know what? And I think you're freezing up. I'm not sure about our Zoom today. Lynn, do you have any suggestions? Maybe if Liz turns off her video,
so
we will be able
I
to
can
hear
her you.
Okay. Why don't you start again?
I can
We're not
going
to worry about the video. And start
Is
again
that any
your
better?
Percentages. And I'm going to mute myself. I think that helps too. Yes, that's better.
Okay. So let me know if it's not coming in and I can change phone line. Okay, great. So I'm sorry you can't see me. I can pop back up on video. But I think so the question about percentages about our patients, so I think we can start there. And these numbers are from last year. They change year to year, but about 44% of Massachusetts Health Center patients are insured through Medicaid, 31% through subsidized or other private coverage. About 10% are Medicare beneficiaries, and that number has been growing as we are an aging population, of course. And about 14% are uninsured. Those numbers do vary, of course, by health center community and by area of the state, but those are statewide. And then about 40% of health center patients report being best served in a language other than English. And all health centers have language capacity. Many have staff who are bi or trilingual and are from the communities in which they are serving. Health centers across the nation, the health center movement began in Massachusetts in 1965. And health centers are built on the foundation of holistic integrated care. For the whole person, it's patient-centered care, and in many times for the whole family as well. Health centers since then have been growing to further advance that integrated care model, which includes medical, behavioral health, dental, vision, pharmacy, substance use disorder services, as well as an array of enabling, and those are non-clinical social services, including food access, housing support, transportation. Health centers have always had a strong history of collaborating with community organizations and partners to support the health and well-being of the communities they all serve. So I think that's, the basic foundation of health centers in Massachusetts. You'll hear more in depth from Cynthia about one health center's model. I think when I was talking with Emily yesterday, and certainly the league's president and CEO, Jim Hunt, always says, when you see one health center, UC One Health Center, and that is really the goal of health centers, is that they are responsive to the communities in which they serve, in which they operate. Every health center is a little different and does work to best support their community members. So I think to move into some health center updates kind of now in this COVID environment, think about certainly what's changed. There's lots, the foundation has stayed the same, that health centers are here to support patients and community members who need care. But some of the most important changes over the past couple of months have been the really broad implementation of telehealth. So now almost all health centers are able to offer some of their services, at least some of their services via telehealth, including well and sick visits over the phone and or video. Certainly behavioral health services are able to be offered via telehealth, and that's one of the biggest uptakes that we've seen the ability to continue with ongoing behavioral health treatment via telehealth. So that's been fantastic during this pandemic, certainly. And as well as some other specialty care and screening, there's always been some work done with telederm as an example to have access to that specialty service. The other certainly significant change over the past few months has been the ability and for health centers to increase their testing capacity. And this is testing for COVID-19, of course. So to date, there's about 85% of health centers in Massachusetts are testing in some capacity. There are 20 health centers that have scaled up their testing through the state's COVID-19 Command Center collaboration with the Mass League and Quest Diagnostics. That partnership began last month, and the health centers in that collaboration have been from 12 to now 20. So that's been great to offer that service to center communities who need that testing. Certainly many of those communities we know are being disproportionately impacted by COVID-19. So it's critical to have those testing services available for those communities. Messaging around that, around testing for individuals who are seeking COVID-19 testing, patients should always call first to ask about testing for COVID-19. As of right now, in order to be tested for COVID-19, patients must have specific symptoms that meet the testing criteria or work in an essential role that puts them at increased risk for COVID-19. So again, certainly call a health center or someone's primary care provider to ask about testing, but that is the health center messaging. Each health center has slightly different protocols and procedures, certainly hours of testing and days that testing is available. So that's why it's really important to call first before certainly going in for testing anywhere, but for before seeking any visits. Any in-person visits. Most health centers are able to test anyone regardless if they are patients or not. So that I know was one of the questions that had come up when we had this pre-call yesterday. So I think generally if someone is seeking a test, it's recommended that they contact their primary care provider first. If their primary care provider is not at a health center, they may have other processes in place for their primary care patients. But certainly if there's a health center in your area, can reach out to see about availability of testing, and that health center may be able to see non-patients for testing. I think the last point that I'll cover, and I did see that there are some questions that have come in, so I can go back to address those, is about the public awareness campaign that was launched last week. And this is because we know that the coronavirus hasn't affected everyone equally in our state. Many of the hardest hit areas in Massachusetts are places where our low income, African American, Latinx, or Hispanic and immigrant residents live. Many live in crowded conditions, use public transportation, and are employed as essential and service workers. We want to encourage anyone who needs resources, needs access to care, to turn to health centers in their community. The governor's announcement, the governor's press conference last Friday, which featured Eliza Lake, who's the CEO at Hilltown Community Health Centers out in Western Massachusetts, announced the campaign, New Tools, New Rules, Same Great Care. And this is to encourage all residents to continue to take care of their health. Community health centers can now do telehealth and video appointments and have new virus safe protocols for in-person visits. The message is, don't be afraid, come get the care you need. So this is a campaign that is being broadcast on TV and social media ads, Facebook ads in English and Spanish and other languages targeted to specific communities by zip code with the highest number of community members in need. So it's really to encourage people, and this is part of broader provider efforts as well. You may have seen some hospital messaging around this, certainly, but it's really to get the message out to anyone who does need care that they should certainly seek care for non-COVID-related 19 conditions during this time. Again, call providers before going in, but the main message is that health centers are here to serve those in the community who need that care. Emily, if it's okay, I can see if I can address some of these questions now, or do you want to hold the questions in?
Do you want to just
later?
Yeah, I think if you can do the three that have come in the chat room, if you can you see those, or do you want me to read them?
Sure.
Yes. Are the behavioral health
I think I can see them,
provided?
So I can read them.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
Yes, so are the behavioral health services provided via phone and video? So it depends by health center and then certainly by the patient's technology capability. So many more people are certainly able to do visits via phone. We know that video can be a challenge or a barrier for some patients. So many services are able to be offered phone only. Video can be an option, but it's not necessarily a requirement for most visits. Medicare does have a video requirement for many of their services, which is a barrier. We do know that. That's the federal policy. It's something that we're working on very closely with our federal partners. On trying to get some workarounds for that, as we do know that video can be a barrier for patients. So another question here, are health center staff able to reach out to their clients for a check and call, or are they focused on responding to needs/testing and other medical issues? So I would say both of the above, and certainly Cynthia Sierra can, can talk about this from what MANA is doing, but health center staff right now are doing routine follow-ups and routine visits via telehealth for current patients or anyone who had an appointment scheduled during this time. Many of those are via telehealth. Many health centers have community health workers who are doing check-ins with patients or other social service screening via phone right now. And then certainly health centers are able to respond to patients or individuals who need sick visit care, so have a need, COVID or non-COVID.
Hello, Dave Levitan. Hi.
So the question here, can it be tested even if the patient does not have symptoms? So I think not necessarily. There are criteria for getting tested.
You know what, Liz? I think we're just having a whole bunch of problems hearing you. I'm going to ask you to stop, and I think Lynn,
sure.
That's okay. So Lynn, can you mute everybody except for me and Cynthia Sierra? And hopefully, I don't know, we're doing this old school, and Zoom doesn't seem to be cooperating as much today, but hopefully we'll be able to make this work. So I'm going to actually ask Liz to stop, and we're going to go to our second speaker, and then hopefully when she's done, we can do some answer some of these questions as well. So we are lucky to have with us Cynthia, and Cynthia Sierra is the CEO at Manet Health, which is actually a local community health center, and she's going to talk more granularly around some of the things that Liz was talking about, what community health centers can do, and she's going to talk about what they are doing at Manet Health. So Cynthia, hopefully we'll be able to hear you if you're unmuted.
Thank you, Emily. Thank you, Allison. I hope the sound is okay for folks. And
right now and you sound great.
Wonderful. Okay. Wanted to acknowledge and appreciate Liz and the leadership that she provides for our State Trade Association. And Emily, I so appreciate your humor and your good spirit. And I feel as if we would have been friends in high school. So just appreciating you today at this amazing time for all of us. So I'm really pleased to be here. Appreciative of you and Allison and all partners to have been asked on behalf of the health center to speak of what we're doing. I frankly have the privilege of serving with a most magnificent team of health center staff and in service their CEO, but truly their colleague first and foremost. And health centers, as Liz was mentioning, really wonderful organizations, and happen to work with a board of directors, and the majority of them are patients of the health center. And so I think another element that makes us special, it really sort of on their shoulders, we all stand. I see some questions in the chat box, but I think what might be most helpful today is to speak about Manet and how we interface sort of pre and post COVID with our residents, our communities that we serve, and particularly our residents in housing. And so for Manet, we are a community health center that's in three different geographies. And have wonderful community health center partners around us and across the state. You can, as Liz mentioned, you can always find a community health center. Our practice sites happen to be in Quincy. So three sites in Quincy, one site in Hull, that wonderful seaside community. Folks know Hull from the older days of Paragon Park, if you will. And then we have a location that's in Taunton. And they are open through COVID. And in terms of our response, or if you will, leaning into the community, I have to say, very, very natural. I think that's natural of health centers. And a part of the word in our title is community, right? Manet Community Health Center. And so that's a commitment that we take significantly and seriously every day. We employ from the communities in which we serve. We care for patients, whether it's mental health, substance use services, primary care, vision services, health benefits counseling, whatever our services, there's that commitment to serve the the residents where we are positioned. And so community is everything we are. And Emily had asked me to think about our partnership with, as an example, Quincy Housing Authority, one of our really important partnerships, another very special partnership, I think, relative for this community gathered here today. And I think these calls are just magnificent. And, you know, really congratulations to leadership and all of you for putting these together. I'm, you know, frankly, moved by this community. We also are pre-COVID, a real genuine, I think, working partner with our ASAP, our Aging Service Access Points, Alsher Elder Services. And so I think the relationships that you bear before a nationwide, worldwide, state, global pandemic and emergency, they become even more relevant. They become even more meaningful. One of our sites is actually positioned inside of a Quincy Housing Authority property, if you will, and has been since, I believe, 1980. And one of the physicians that provides care with a specific emphasis on a public housing community tells his story so poignantly, frankly, that he was one of many siblings that had two wonderful, loving, amazing parents, and they grew up in public housing. And he realized on his path to a medical career that he wanted to serve residents of public housing. And so we even, I guess you would say, hire and seek for talent across the health center in all positions that come with that sense of social responsibility, if you will, and social justice. And so when you have a health center that pre-pandemic has teams that are sensitive to the specific health needs of seniors and elders in your community, you employ, if you will, adult medicine providers that do geriatric work, that are very proud of the centenarians that they care for, those that come with experience in serving residents of public housing. You offer community outreach programs, you offer SHINE programs, you offer prevention programs, you offer street outreach. You serve as school physician advisor for several communities, including Randolph, including Quincy. And it becomes really natural for when a crisis hits, if you will, you reach out to your partners. And so in terms of Quincy Housing Authority, it honestly, it was the most natural thing in the world to check in with their leadership, with their executive director. A staff member is on our board of directors. It was natural. And the camera isn't on, but I would show you these wonderful flyers that we created just for residents across our service areas of public housing properties. And the latest that I wanted to design was sort of at this stage of the pandemic, and it has a smiley face with a mask on that we always wear. That's so important. And it's sort of, you got this, but we need to keep up the work to flatten the curve. And so for Quincy Housing Authority, I think what comes to bear is not only are we taking care of many of those residents, and so immediately activated an outreach phone response. And so there was a question around that, and my goodness, it's and Liz said it so well, and the campaign that's surrounding her in health centers is said so well, that we're here, we're still here, we're outreaching, we're caring for all of our patients, and we're testing all of our patients that both have symptoms and then exposure, or work now a close contact up, but we're testing services are also available if you're not a registered patient of our particular health center, because we've realized that we need, we're also at an important, if you will, safety net access point for folks that need local testing. But so for Quincy Housing Authority, for the work that we do in other communities, we really become, but it's again, a natural role that had played already. It just might become more focused and more concentrated. We become a health coach, a health advisor to their leaders and to their staff. And whether it's through flyers that speak to in a very multilingual way, and a very, if it needs to be a low vision produced flyer that has those key points about the importance of masking, the importance of proper hygiene and soap and water and social distancing, and what do you do if you are COVID positive, and why did they, you know, close the game room? And we also provide, if you will, technical assistance to employees of such agencies, and how can we help them understand how this is touching the staff that are working in their food pantries, as an example. So just really a natural progression and outpouring of the relationship. But I think one of the themes of our relationships with our elder serving partners and our relationships with our partners that are in housing is it's consistent and it's constant. And so, and there's an accessibility to it. So when you're thinking of them and they're thinking of you, you call and you make yourselves available. And when there's updates to share that are important, that you're doing that. We created, if you will, a point of contact here at the health center. So if there's questions, we're here to serve and we're here to take those questions. And if you're not a patient of the health center, that's a-okay to call. You're a resident of the community. And we're just here to support. I think what we and our partner health centers have found is that this COVID pandemic has heightened all of our awareness around the priority of healthcare and receiving healthcare in our lives. And so for many of the folks that work or live close to us and have come to us, and maybe testing has been that pathway, and they'll be screened and they'll be tested, and health center staff, primary care providers, so that's our doctors, our physician assistants and our nurse practitioners are doing what we call the work of resulting, which comes with that personal call, education around how to continue to stay safe, how to keep you and your loved ones and your family safe if you're isolating and you're quarantining. I think we're also in that role of teaching. But we have found from that experience that there are still so many that are going without access to care. And so for community health centers that, as Liz said so well, we're all across the Commonwealth. And so there is a health center that's for you that we're able to then engage them in care. I think it's really important what Liz said about above and beyond COVID-19. We are seeing patients, and we're doing that in a very, very thoughtful way through telemedicine, mental health services, addiction support and services. We actually have groups for our behavioral health patients that are struggling, really, truly struggling with, if you will, anxiety that could be exacerbated by the isolation, a depression that's exacerbated by isolation. And in a way that's intended to help them grow in connection, we do have support groups, group support groups, with a telehealth model. So really, really important to say that. It's an important time to be mindful of mental health and substance use support and services. For in-person visits, we have, if the staff call them sort of plexiguard shields. I call them sneeze guards. So in all of our health center sites, and I know that good friends and colleagues in our Massachusetts health centers are doing the same. It's so, you know, you're greeted in the health center sites by really clean spaces. I'm pleased to report that our staff so far, although we know that that can change, they are COVID negative. And I think some of that is because of the strident, zealous cleaning policies and procedures. You're with all proper precautions, you're very safe. You're very safe in a health center. And so those precautions are around those sneeze guards. They're around deep cleansing that happens, using gloves, wearing masks, making hand sanitizers possible, using that wherever you see it, use it, knowing that soap and water truly is that gold standard. Our guests, our patients, our staff, they're greeted in the morning with temperature checks. We did, if you will, find one staff member that had a moderately high temperature and they did go home. It turned out to be strep, but I think it gives a good sense of confidence for both our staff and our patients that we're doing the temperature checks. Pediatric patients, children that side of the lifespan, if you will, 2 and under, they absolutely need vaccination care. Babies need weights, as you can imagine. So we recommend they come in first thing in the morning, as an example. And we have a wing of one of our buildings that is quartered off for just pediatric patients, for our enhanced care patients, for which the patients and the physicians feel as if your enhanced care, we'd like to listen to your lungs. And there are some clinical components of telemedicine that could be with physician judgment limiting. So we have safe passage and safe sessions for enhanced care patients, same as our prenatal patients. So know that there's much thought, special accommodations that are made, but we've had such great success in checking in with our patients over phone, over applications like Zoom, Doximity. It's really, really important. We want to make sure that we continue to the best of our ability to reduce what we understand is anxiety for all of our patients and for all of our community residents. But know that, as an example, we've removed certain chairs from waiting rooms to be able to begin to get ready for welcoming our patients back. And our patients want to create, you know, banners and signs. And we're imagining, from a practice management point of view, we're going to space out, if you will, those in-person visits with telemedicine. And that, in addition to sort of removing some chairs from the waiting rooms, will help just keep some natural spacing. Signage, taping on the floor, those stanchions that you see in movie theaters, those are all in place. At Manet locations, you'll have a greeter in every place that you go. But we found that it all truly comes back to the relationships that you have. And what it's done for the health center, I think, in a very, very moving way, is it's created a deeper sense of connectedness among our providers and our staff at all levels of the organization, but as important, with our partners that are in the community. And I also would add to that Medicaid and MassHealth. It certainly has made us more human. It's taught us all those adages that we said before, that we're stronger together, that we can't do this on our own. We certainly have learned that. And community health centers are just, I think, very magnificent places and spaces. And we just do that naturally. It's core to who we are. And so I'm going to actually pause and stop talking, but I speak so much of health centers because it frankly is probably my most important topic to speak to. But know that our seniors and our elders and our centenarians, and for us, our residents most vulnerable and all the communities that we serve, we've truly, truly, I can't say this enough, we start and we end our day with them top of mind. And so the partnerships with the staff and the volunteers and the professionals and the paraprofessionals that represent them, that help to give them voice, we're honored. We're honored all the time, but particularly now to be in relationship with them. So Emily, I hope that was helpful.
No, that was perfect, Cynthia. I'm gonna stop you so we can do some questions. And I'm gonna tell folks that I think we have fixed all the technical glitches. So if you want to be on video, you can. We had turned all the cameras off, but we leave that up to you. Maybe you've moved on to something else. So you could, if you'd like to see Cynthia, we'll get her on camera. But I wanna just ask, some questions that are coming in, and also some to hear from folks and to ask you guys some things that might be on people's minds. So you mentioned that Manet Health has this great relationship and you're, basically located in the Quincy Housing Authority. But for those of the people on the phone that don't have that relationship. So the first question is, how do I figure out who my community health center is? And my second question is, I have residents who may be scared to leave the building. Right now, has there been sort of a mobile component that has ever happened where community health centers are doing outreach, not in their four walls, for example? And I don't know, Cynthia or Liz, which one of you want to kind of answer either of those? I think you're going to have to unmute yourself.
Liz, I wonder if you want to start with where you find a community health center, where we're located, and I'm happy to address the outreach component.
Sure, that's great, absolutely. So on our website, which Allison posted a link to in the chat, but it's masslake.org, there is a section under for patients, find a health center, and that is available in English and Spanish, and someone can search by address or zip code, and they can search by different types of services if they're looking for that. I think there's a lot of health centers. There's health centers very close to where many people may be living in pretty much every major city and town across Massachusetts, and then others located very proximately to where people live. So certainly utilize that. We do have a phone number that can be called as well. I think probably the easiest way certainly to do it now is by that search feature. And then we would recommend for COVID or non-COVID related, to call that health center if someone is looking to establish primary care at any health center. Just give that health center a call. They can help health centers see Massachusetts residents regardless of insurance status or ability to pay. So that's certainly just an important consideration as well. I'll let Cynthia take the other piece of that question. And then if there's anything else I can fill in from our testing team as well, I'm happy to do that.
Thank you, Liz. And to add to what Liz shared, so if you go to the League website, you find your local community health center, or you give a call if it's hard to access a website. I would suggest if you want to start building a relationship with the health center, and you may not have that, to probably ask to speak to leadership. And I know my colleagues well enough to know that don't feel as if you can't call a senior management team member, you can't call the CEO or the executive director of a health center, because we would want to hear that you want to partner. We would want to hear that there's unmet needs. Regardless of how busy we may be or folks may feel we may be, there's nothing more important than who we serve. And so, please do call us. Please do email us. We take that commitment very seriously. A really good question about being isolated, if you will, whether for COVID or being inbound or even being slightly, understandably, a little bit anxious or agoraphobic during this time. So for us, the model very much is outreach. And so how we do that more often than not is through the phone, right? And so we're able to call, we're able to check in. But one example from one of the communities that we served, we helped them with a hygiene kit that would be left, if you will, with a mask at the doors of the residence. And inside it, so like flyers like this, we would help to create flyers, and it would have information, and it speaks about how important it is to call, to talk, what those resources are, to stay informed, and phone numbers are on that. So if it was particularly around how to access services, whether it's primary care, whether it's COVID testing, whether it's emotional support, those resources are there. So because it is a difficult time to feel comfortable opening your door, and in some housing communities, there's sort of a no visitor order in the same way that there is in our acute care centers. And so you're missing your usual guests. You're missing that ability to get together in those congregate spaces. And so, sort of leaving packages, if you will, at the door, putting flyers underneath the door, using listservs. Hopefully it's one way to break down that isolation, but I appreciate that Liz shared the phone number for the Mass League, because we have found that that is so important. And we've never used our voices, our physical voices more, right? We're talking a lot more. We're communicating that way in voice, and it's so incredibly important. So I hope that's helpful.
That was helpful, Cynthia. There's some questions in here about testing, but I'm conscious of time. So I want to just make sure that folks on the phone, if you wanted to unmute yourself, or if you wanted to email Lynn and ask something, that you had the opportunity to do so. So I want to give you that opportunity before I go back to the chat questions. Anybody on the phone?
There is someone who has their hand raised.
Okay.
Judith.
Hello.
Hello, Judith.
Oh, yes. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much. I'm Judith, and I know many seniors housing, they have a resident service coordinator. So many times we try to establish partnership with health center. You know, they always ask if you are a social worker, if you are a nurse. It's pretty complex and difficult many times. So, however, you know, resident service coordinator have, you know, the great relationship with residents. How we can make it easier for resident service coordinator to establish this partnership with health center?
So I imagine, Judith, some of that is about client confidentiality, right? Like if you're calling on behalf of a resident, then you call the health center, the health center is gonna wanna know, you know, that they can talk to you about that resident. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, it's part of that, but also even, you know, you ask to for education, or you ask how we can work together, you know, they're pretty well extended because you are not a social worker or you are not a nurse. They don't accept you.
Got it. So I don't know if Cynthia or Liz have any suggestions. It sounds like, and I think Judith is right, a lot of the people who are responsible in housing for the well-being are often these positions that are resident service coordinators. Sometimes it's just the manager who's accepting the rent or the landlord. You know, it's not a health center. It's not a health clinic. So those are the people who are helping the residents. Should they be calling the CEO? Should they, you know, how do they get traction with the local community health center?
Judith, I appreciate your question. And I guess I want to say keep trying for Manet. We support, we respect the role of the resident coordinator. We take their guidance significantly. We offer health workshops tailored to their feedback to residents of our housing communities. So I would encourage, and I can see Liz is nodding as well, to really keep trying. We know they're important vehicles, if you will, on behalf of residents.
Thank you, Cynthia. That's great. And we'll take that feedback back at the Mass League level for all of our health centers to, you know, reiterate that message that, you know, there may be others calling. If there's a specific health center you're looking to get connected with, I'm happy to help do some of that coordination as well. So Judith or others, you know, if you, I can put my email in the chat, but I'm happy to try to help establish those connections also.
So Cynthia, we're going to put you right on the spot because one of the people in the chat want to talk to you, I think. If we call Manit to try and connect, who do we ask for? I'm going to say Cynthia Sierra at this point is the CEO, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, you should. I could give you my number. So
we'll give it out afterwards.
Okay, thank you.
So just one last question. There's been some questions in the chat around on-site testing or rather than the residents coming to the community health center to get tested, are you also trying to, are you doing other things that where you're going off site or doing mobile testing? I think this particular group is has been talking a little bit about on-site testing in the housing property. Is that something that's being considered or done by any community health center that you're aware of?
So I can, from a broad testing perspective across Health Center, and then I can let Cynthia can talk about what Mana is doing around this. But from our testing team, I got this information. So, you know, I think what they would say is that there are some challenges for health centers doing on-site testing or mobile testing, but some health centers have been able to do it in some limited capacity. Emily, when we talked yesterday, talked a little bit about some nursing homes being that being a partnership that some health centers have established doing some on-site testing. The biggest questions right now are there enough health center staff to do it? And do they have the supplies, the testing kits and the PPE to be able to do that? What we would say is it certainly doesn't hurt to reach out to a health center to ask if the health center has that capacity. They may not be able to accommodate right away, but certainly let them know that that would be something that you're interested in, and they can take that request back. So again, if there's a specific health center that someone's looking to get connected with, I'm happy to help facilitate those connections.
Great. And I know Liz put her email in there. I am conscious of time. So for those people who asked questions that we didn't get the answer to, we will follow up with Liz and Cynthia, and hopefully you all will try and get you the answers. We are going to actually try something different today and ask before you jump off to do a poll about these calls and topics and how often they should continue. So if you can just before we leave, we're going to launch this right now and hopefully it's going to work. This isn't, you know, if it doesn't work, that's okay too. But I think, how is this going to work, Lynn? People are going to see a poll on their screen.
Working on it.
Okay. All right. Well, in the meantime, I want to thank Cynthia and thank Liz for being on this call. Liz's email is in the chat room. If you have any questions that didn't get answered or you'd like to be answered, send it to seniorhousingcovid19@mass.gov. We will route it to the right place. And we are paying attention to some of the questions that have come in that we weren't able to answer today. And we may not have a poll.
Hang on one second.
Okay. All right. No, I'm going to go with no poll today, but you may be getting an email from us just to ask you these kind of questions, like what are topics that you'd like to hear about? You know, we have some ideas, but we never quite know. How often do you want to keep having calls? Weekly? Do you want to move to every other week or once a month? So we just, you know, we still have a chunk of people, about 100 people who register for the calls on a routine basis and participate. But we just want to make sure we're giving you what you think would be helpful. And if there are other things you'd like to know, thank you, Erin Lewis, who said these are helpful. We will keep doing them. But if you have any, suggestions of topics, let us know. So have a great week and feel free to email us seniorhousingcovid19@mass.gov. Thank you, everybody.